Hey friends, and welcome to the podcast companion for A Homemaker's Manifesto. My name is Issa, and as you can tell, I have been sick. I'm feeling a lot better today, but I don't sound that great, so I will probably keep this relatively short. I almost didn't record this, and we will find out if I should have. It might turn out that I probably shouldn't have bothered, because I have started several times and then ended up like getting tired and losing my train of thought. So if I sound a little out of it, if I sound a little husky, that is why. So just a little bit of housekeeping. Today is the first day of our Bold Truth and Good Books study club. I am so excited about this. It is a super casual freestyle study club that takes place. It's just a chat discussion, so you can join in at any time. You get to pick your own books. You get to pick your own challenge. We are simply sharing what we're learning, encouraging, admonishing one another, learning from one another. So here's how it works. The study club is for the paid subscribers. If you'd like to upgrade now, I would so love to have you. I'm still offering 50% off for upgrades to paid subscriptions. So it's just $25 for the year, or $250 if you want to pay monthly. It's less than that, you know. It breaks down to $208 a month if you just go ahead and get the annual subscription all at once. You can find more information about the study club and how to upgrade on my main Substack page. It's the second to last post before this one, so go ahead and check it out. There is a link there to get 50% off to join. Once you do join, go ahead and download the Substack app. When you log in, it will automatically upload your Substack subscription, so you can just find me there, and you can find my chat, and you will see our latest post. So I'll have a post up this afternoon. This is Monday, so Monday afternoon we'll have a post for today, and then you can join in and comment and discuss at any point during the week, and then we'll have another post on Monday. So there is also an ebook companion that has some of it's the first ebook I've ever written, and it was really fun to put together. It just has some of my thoughts on, you know, my love of reading and just how we can use literature as a tool to seek and appreciate God's truth, as well as, this is the more important part, right, is my list of top book recommendations. I've got a ton of book recommendations for you guys in there. To help you put together your own list if you need some inspiration. It is all of my favorite titles in a number of different categories. So yeah, just go, you know, if this sounds like something you'd like to do, when you upgrade to a paid subscription, you also get access to all my posts, all my podcasts, the full archive of the site. A lot of my articles actually go behind a paywall after a month, but paid subscribers get access to them at all times. So, this is a reader-supported publication. That means I do not have to rely on third-party advertisers or big tech to earn a living as an independent writer, which is a breath of fresh air for me as a freelancer. I have written for websites for years that are, you know, in mesh with the big tech system just out of necessity, you know, but it means that at any given time, if a page gets suppressed or censored, there goes my income, you know. I've actually had that happen before, and it is scary. Substack was created to be a free speech platform. It makes it possible to go independent as a writer in a really real and tangible way. And the coolest thing is that you're getting supported directly by your readers. I mean, I can't tell you how much I love that. It's just like you get to just be like a boutique business. Anyway, I could go on and on about the virtues of Substack. I would love to have you as a paid subscriber. It does make this entire platform and my whole Instagram page possible. However, if now is not the time, do not fret, or you're just not interested. Totally fine. Totally get it. Not at all offended. The free content is still totally available for you. It's just the paid subscribers that make that possible. So big shout out to those guys. I'm so grateful for all of you. We've had a lot of new ones lately, and it is just so exciting to be growing this community. And the study club, I think, is a huge way that we can turn this into more of a community, not just, I don't need a soapbox. I would much rather build community for homemakers. That's what A Homemaker's Manifesto is all about, is just giving a voice to homemakers like us who are kind of marginalized in a lot of ways. And to borrow a term from the progressive left, like, I know a lot of us feel alienated from mainstream culture, you know, and we should be because we're Christians. But being able to articulate and fellowship over, commiserate over our shared values is a really powerful and edifying and encouraging thing. So it actually brings me to my topic today, which is the title of this post, as you probably saw, is Truth, Goodness, Beauty, and Instagram. I feel like there is a tendency, and I say this because this has been my personal experience, that we tend to really bristle at kind of like everything modern. Even though we're on social media and we're using it, we still feel like there's just this cheapness to it. And it is certainly true. You know, people say the internet is not real life as a way to sort of say, like, don't hold yourself up to the ideal that you see online of what perhaps your home or marriage or time with your, you know, how you're raising your children might look like. Now, these are apt concerns, or these are fair concerns. It is sensible to be wary of not building up a false ideal, which really would be an idol in our minds and our hearts, of what we want our life to visually look like or feel like. Isn't that really what we're going for, or what we're really thinking about at the end of the day, is we want this feeling of peace and serenity. And so it's easy to feel cynical when we see the idyllic on social media, you know, the aesthetic, cottagecore is so trendy right now. And I feel like we have a tendency to just have this knee-jerk reaction that, like, oh, it's fake, so it's bad, because life isn't really perfect. But yesterday I got thinking about this, and I realized that there is a whole other side to this. You know, it wasn't long ago that I was posting on Instagram, we should be careful not to make motherhood look too idyllic, because it's not, because it's messy and it's chaotic. Just like life, you know, life in this fallen world is messy and it's chaotic and it's difficult and it's painful and it's heartbreaking and it's scary. It's all sorts of bad things because it's fallen. But when we learn to appreciate and cherish the idyllic as a reflection of the perfection that is wholly made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it becomes something, I think, that can be really good. Today's post was really inspired by the fact that I have in the past struggled with guilt for enjoying things like period dramas and cottagecore reels on Instagram so much, and feeling kind of that I shouldn't, because it's modern, so it's evil and bad, right? I don't personally, I would be lying if I said I didn't struggle with covetousness on social media. Who doesn't? But when I see these reels and pictures of just beauty, just nature, or just a sweet little picture of a home, somebody's home that they've put thought into decorating in a beautiful way, and I don't mean lavish and ostentatious, I just mean pretty, you know, having soul to it, it doesn't make me covetous. It makes me look at my own life and appreciate little details more. And the direct inspiration for today's post was yesterday. It was a beautiful day here in the Ozarks. We had the windows open. There was a breeze going through the house. As you probably know, I happen to live, maybe it's easy for me to appreciate the idyllic in my own life, because we happen to live in a very idyllic setting. We do. Our house isn't perfect by any means. It's not Insta-worthy, Instagram-worthy. And I'm fine. I'm really fine with that. But it is, we're all imperfect and our house is very imperfect. And I don't say that to be humble. I mean, it's a small house. It's an old house. It needs a lot of work. And it's old, not in a cool way. It's like, 12 years old and kind of hasn't, it was a vacation home. So it was kind of left to rot in the forest a lot, over the years. So I just mean that to substantiate that it is imperfect. It's not imperfect just because it exists in a fallen world. It's imperfect because the house is not the most idyllic thing. Our family is not perfect and idyllic. I would know that better than anybody. But there are so many moments, just like yesterday, when it's just like almost funny how beautiful and peaceful and perfect it all can be, and I was just kind of puttering in my kitchen and I put on the soundtrack to one of my favorite series, TV series, which is The Durrells in Corfu. It is a worldly series. It has values in it that don't align with my own. I wouldn't recommend it for children, except maybe older, mature teenagers, discerning mature teenagers. Because again, it does have values in it. It's not about those values necessarily, but it has had such a special place in my heart for a long time, because when I first watched it, I was going through a period of a lot of really, it was so painful at the time, painful spiritual growth. But my memory of watching that show is inextricably linked in my mind with the unearthly peace that God gave me at the other end of that period of struggle. And so putting on the soundtrack yesterday, and it's a beautiful soundtrack, it's The Durrells in Corfu takes place in Greece in the 1930s. So it's got that very kind of traditional old world folk music sound. And it's just the music. I'm not like a music expert at all, so I'm going to sound really silly talking about this, but it's like it sounds like the visuals of Corfu. I don't know, that probably sounds, just because there's probably a better way to describe that musical technique, but it just fits so perfectly with these idyllic scenes of beautiful, glistening ocean and rolling olive groves and rustic villas and this old world town. I got thinking, listening to it, and just kind of almost, do you ever feel, and C.S. Lewis describes this as pure joy, but do you ever feel this almost impossible sense? Just something is so beautiful and perfect, and I mostly feel this when I'm looking at nature, that you just, it's like you almost can't stand it. C.S. Lewis, I wish I had the quote in front of me because he says it way better than me, but he describes that as joy. And that joy is rooted in perfection. And perfection is not an unattainable ideal when we consider the perfection of God's creation and God's plan for salvation. That is what we live for. That is what Christ's perfect personhood is, what redeems us. And so it's actually not a bad thing that we crave perfection and that we are attracted to the perfection that we see in beauty. And what's really wonderful about the series, The Durrells in Corfu, and I had never really thought about this, I just love the show, and it brought me so much comfort and peace, and I actually wasn't even really sure why, other than it's just visually really beautiful, and it's funny, and it's about Jerry Durrell. Gerard Durrell was a noted naturalist, and so the series shows him as a little boy in Corfu. He and his family left England to live in Corfu because it was cheap in the 30s. His mom was a single mom and she was struggling, so she moved the family out there, and he was obsessed with animals, so he got to just kind of like run wild on the island looking for animals. And my son is exactly the same way. My son is a born naturalist, and so the the series always really had a special place in my heart for that reason too, that it was just like my little boy, you know, I related to it so much in that way. But when I started writing yesterday, I realized that what makes the show so effective and kind of almost cathartic is that you have these relationships, this mom and her four children, that each of them kind of have their own issues. And there's all sorts of, like, you know, folly and drama and silliness and pain and reconciliation. And it's all done against the backdrop of this perfectly beautiful idyllic setting. And just that contrast between the brokenness of mankind and the fine kind of fumbling and awkward compassion that the family members all achieve as they try to forgive each other and make and you reconcile and own up for their faults. And there's just this mood throughout the whole show of like, well, we are imperfect, but we're trying hard. And I had never really noticed that before until I started writing about it yesterday. Because isn't that just what life is like? The perfect man of Christ, through whom all things were made, came to earth for the express purpose of redeeming imperfect people. Broken, fallen, messy, selfish, wicked, evil, even people. And I'm sure the showrunners had no intention of doing this, but the Durrells in Corfu gives us that picture. You know, we Christians can see this and appreciate it. It gives us that picture of here are these broken people being healed and redeemed in this perfect, beautiful earthly paradise. And the reason that a show that I'm sure, I mean, maybe not, maybe there are Christians that were involved in making it, but it seemed to be a very secular show. It rings true because truth is objective. You know, everybody exists in the confines of God's cosmos that He created. We are all subject to the laws of His universe, and that includes objective beauty. So when we appreciate art that is made by non-Christians, that reflects real, sincere beauty, that is real, you know? As Christians, that can be a very real medium for us to grow in the Lord, just like me, you know, taking moments to watch the Durrells in Corfu on my iPod during a difficult season. Or not my iPod, I'm so old. My iPhone. I haven't had an iPod for a really long time, but I watched the show on my iPhone. And it gave me a lot of like respite and peace at the time. And like I said, I never really thought about why. But, you know, it's for the same reason that we can enjoy cottagecore or, you know, aesthetic Instagram and actually get genuine joy out of it, because beauty is objective and joy is objective and it comes from the Lord. And what separates us from the world is we know that. We know, you know, everybody lives in the world that God created and in which Christ is Lord over all. We're the ones who know that. So we're the ones that can see beauty and see more. I mean, before I was a Christian, I experienced that kind of gnawing of like experiencing great beauty and not even really knowing what to do with it. Because like I said, I almost couldn't handle it. It was just so perfect and beautiful. But now I know why. I know why that resonates with my soul so much. Because God designed me to have a soul in which beauty resonates, and truth, goodness, and beauty are from the Lord. This is something I've only really been thinking about more recently, is that beauty is itself is as objective as truth and goodness. You know, in postmodernism, there's a reason modern art is ugly, because postmoderns flipped this understanding of objectivity on its head and started to glorify the ugly. That's a whole other tangent. If you've followed me or read me for a while, you'll have heard my thoughts on postmodernism. I've written a lot about it. But, you know, my point is that, you know, no matter what they do, there's a reason why just regular people who have no knowledge of theology or art theory or philosophy or anything will look at modern art and say, that's ugly. Or like, you can't just put a toilet in a museum and call it art. It's not meaningful. It irks us. It rubs us the wrong way. You have to actually try really hard to extract meaning out of that. You know, and when I grew up around a lot of modern art, I used to go to the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art as a hobby. You know, I had my own student pass and I would go on a rainy afternoon or when I had free time. And I remember thinking like, so we just cherish meaningless as meaning, you know, it rubs a person the wrong way. And I think that we are seeing the fruit of this approach to truth, goodness, and beauty, because postmodern said that there is no objective truth, there is no objective beauty, there is no objective goodness, and that is their philosophy. That is what they build their entire worldview on, and it's the worldview that has largely influenced contemporary culture, which is probably why contemporary culture is so ugly. So, sorry, I already said I wasn't going to go on about the postmoderns more, but anyway, my point, all of this is to say, there is nothing wrong with cherishing the idyllic, with cherishing beauty, with seeking it out in your life, when it is not a means of covetousness or something that causes bitterness in you, when it brings you real joy. That's okay. Own that, you know, enjoy that, cultivate it in your life. Enjoy chocolate for the sake of chocolate. Enjoy a pretty reel of a girl in a peasant dress in a field at sunset because it's beautiful for all the right reasons. You know, stand at your window and look outside at nature once a day and just soak it in just for its own sake. The earth is the Lord and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and that includes Instagram, that includes the Durrells in Corfu. You know, God is so much greater than everything dark and nasty in this world, and he always overcomes it. And we see that constantly. We see it all around us, but it's so easy to lose sight of that when we're feeling like this fallen world can somehow taint us. It can't. Christ's lordship is so much bigger and greater than all the things that he died to overcome. And that's the bottom line, right? He died to overcome all these bad things. We do not need to get caught up in thinking that we can somehow topple him from his throne when we enjoy a television series. You know, there's so much to be said, of course, for having worldly idols and ignoring our conscience and watching a show that just doesn't glorify God. You know, that's all real. There's stuff on Instagram that we should avoid. There are all sorts of TV shows and movies that we should completely avoid, and I totally advocate for it because it doesn't glorify God. But a lot of people who aren't necessarily even saved unwittingly give glory to God because God's glory is just that great. So I think that is as good a note as any to end on. I apologize again for not sounding great, and if I've been a little bit rambly, as is my wont. I am very grateful that you are here with me today, though, and please leave your thoughts in the comments section. I would love to hear what you think and dialogue with you about this, whether it's here or over on Instagram. I'll have a post up, companion post for this that I imagine will elicit comments. So yeah, again, thanks for listening and bearing with me, and we will see you again on Saturday with the return of the regular Prayerful Digest. Again, those full posts are also available for paying subscribers, but there's always a free preview for all the free subscribers. But the podcast companion for those is just for paying subscribers. So if you enjoy listening to me ramble instead of read, go ahead and upgrade to get access to that. So I pray you guys have a really, really blessed new year. I am so grateful for all of you, and I'm praying that you have a productive week as you get back to your routine from the holiday, and just that you are appreciating the idyllic in your life and beauty wherever you find it, and growing closer to God as a result. So thanks again for listening, and God bless you.